Well, good morning. Welcome to Wyndham Community Chapel's service of April 11th, 2021. My name is Pastor Gary DeHaas, and it's great to have you listening from your homes with us today. Today, as we spend time with God in His Word, it is my prayer and hope that you will receive from the Lord what He desires to give to you, that your heart will be open to Him, that your ears would be attentive to His Spirit, that your spiritual eyes would be opened by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that God would provide for you that which He has in store for you this day. It's great joy to spend time with God, with other believers in His Word. I want to invite you to come to our gathered worship service on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. We meet together here. And we are looking forward to the day that is coming pretty soon, it looks like, where we'll all be able to gather together again without any restrictions. Well, today, Psalm chapter 95 calls us into worship of our God. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands form the dry ground. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Would you bow with me? Our Father, we have gathered again in Your presence to express our love for You and our worship of You. You are our God, the Maker of heaven and earth. We recognize Your power and goodness to us. We also come before You to cast all our cares on You, knowing that only in You will our burdens be lifted. So in our time together, would You bring renewal to our weary souls and lift our spirits to see Your holiness and power. We worship you because You are our faithful God, who has provided salvation for our souls and abundant life in Your presence forever. To You, and to You alone, we offer our worship this day and every day of our lives. Be glorified in the time that we spend together here. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just want to remind you of a few items, events in the life of our church. Ladies Bible Study meets on Tuesday mornings here at the church at 9:30, and all the women are welcome to come. Men's Bible Study is on Wednesday nights, 7 o'clock, here at the church building. And men, you're welcome to come. Don't forget your masks, and we'll be practicing social distancing as we spend time together in God's Word. Thank you for your faithful giving through the offering, through your tithes and offerings to the church. If you're unable to meet with us, you're welcome to send it in by mail or drop it off here at the church office. Again, thank you for your faithful giving to the Lord. And then beginning in May, a new sermon series, we're going to be looking in the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians. In this series entitled Awake But Asleep, we will discover a strategic location, a thriving city, a passionate people, but a compromised church. The church at Corinth had unlimited potential, but was morally asleep. The people were full of rebellion, internal conflict, and sexual immorality. The Apostle Paul, who had planted the church just 5 years prior to this letter, brings reproof and rebuke to the Christians who have strayed. Mostly, he brings hope and a desire to restore unity to this fractured fellowship. This 21-week sermon series from 1 Corinthians will help us to make sure we aren't sleepwalking in our relationship with God and our church family relationships. So be sure to come each week starting in May. Well, today we want to spend a few moments with God, bringing our requests and our needs and just spending a few minutes talking with Him. Would you bow your heads in prayer as I lead us? Almighty God, we come to You today and we are thankful for Your attentiveness to us. Our needs are of concern to You. Our struggles cause You to draw near to us. Our sin prompts the ministry of the Holy Spirit to bring heart conviction into our lives. Our victories bring a smile to Your face. Our obedience to Your word brings to us Your blessing and Your stamp of approval. Our lives are lived in full view of You, and we are grateful for that. Everything we need for godly living here on earth is provided to us through Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything we need to live by faith is provided to us freely and without end. Your mercies are new to us each and every day, and they never end. You are a God who lifts up those who are weighed down, who are struggling. You are the God who provides perfectly for us, Your children. Father, for those in our church and in our lives who are experiencing illness or loneliness or financial hardships or fractured relationships, I pray that they will look to You and to Your word for wisdom and direction. I pray Your Holy Spirit will guide them to Your will as they trust in You and not their own understanding. I pray, Father, that You will meet them in their time of need and provide eternal help for their souls. Lord, the desire of Your heart is to deepen and strengthen our relationship with You. So I ask this day that we have that same desire and that we would pursue after it as well. Give us a passion to live for You who died for us and gave us eternal life. Now, Lord, as we turn to Your word, as we open Your word, I ask that You draw our hearts to Yours. I ask that You open our spiritual eyes to see Your truths for our lives. Give us wisdom and discernment that we might discover how to apply it to our lives today and in the days ahead. Most of all, may the desire of our hearts be to follow Your will and not our own as we hear from You this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have a Bible, I invite you to turn to Psalm 132 this morning as we continue on in our series from the Psalms of Ascent. Today's message is entitled, Stuck in the Past. Do you know of someone who is living in the past? They talk about the good old days and how far downhill things have gone since the glory days. It's as though time stood still at a certain point in their life and never moved. Christians are also prone to this struggle. For instance, when asked for a testimony of God working in their lives, they recall an event that took place 5 or 10 or even 20 years ago. They long for the pipe organ, the choir, a time when all the men wore ties to church and the women all wore dresses, when the scripture was read from the King James Version and the Sunday evening service was packed. This often indicates that your spiritual life is stuck in the past. Has it been years since you've seen God make a significant difference in your life? Have all the really important events in your spiritual life taken place in the distant past while you've just been going through the motions recently? Well, today's Psalm 132, helps us to understand how to place history in its proper perspective in our faith journey to God. It will help us to connect our past events in obedience in our lives today. It will remind us that hope is built upon our remembrances of a faithful God who drives us to cling to His promises for us today. Dr. Warren Wiersbe wrote, "Do not say, why were the former days better than these?" You do not move ahead by constantly looking in the rearview mirror. The past is a rudder to guide you, not an anchor to drag you. We must learn from the past, but not live in the past. For you see, we want a faith that is stable, but not petrified, that has vision, but is not flighty. And how do we get the adult maturity to keep our feet on the ground and retain the childlike innocence to make the leap of faith? Well, in this psalm, the writer cries out to God to remember David and all he did for Israel during the restoration from Babylonian captivity, to remember his drive to rebuild the temple and the covenant God made with him. It is a plea to God to remember and honor his promises when they appeared to be in jeopardy. So follow along as I read for us from Psalm 132. O Lord, remember David and all the hardships he endured. He swore an oath to the Lord and made a vow to the Mighty One of Jacob. I will not enter my house or go to my bed. I will allow no sleep to my eyes, no slumber to my eyelids, till I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling for the Mighty One of Jacob. We heard it in Ephrathah. We came upon it in the fields of Jar. Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, and come to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. May your priests be clothed with righteousness. May your saints sing for joy. For the sake of David, your servant, do not reject your anointed one. The Lord swore an oath to David, a sure oath that he will not revoke. One of your own descendants I will place on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and the statutes I teach them, then your sons will sit on your throne forever and ever. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has cherished it for his dwelling. This is my resting place forever and ever. Here I will sit enthroned, for I have desired it. I will bless her with abundant provisions. Her poor will I satisfy with food. I will clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints will ever sing for joy. Here I will make a horn grow for David, and will set up a lamp for my anointed one. I will clothe his enemies with shame, but the crown on his head will be resplendent." Well, Psalm 132 is one of the oldest writings of the Bible. It shows obedience as an active and adventurous response of faith, which is rooted in biblical fact and reaching into a promised hope. In verses 1 through 12, we are confronted by obedience that has a history. The writer takes a single incident out of Israel's past, the history of the Ark of the Covenant, and reminisces over it. He says, "We heard it in Ephrathah. We came upon it in the fields of Jar. Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, and come to your resting place, you and the Ark of your might." The Ark of the Covenant, the same one that was portrayed in Raiders of the Lost Ark, was a box approximately 45 inches long, 27 inches broad, and 27 inches deep. constructed of wood and covered with gold. Its lid of solid gold was called the mercy seat. The two cherubim, angel-like figures on either end, framed the space around the central mercy seat from which God's word was heard. It had been made under the supervision of Moses in Exodus chapter 25 and was a symbol of the presence of God among the people. The ark had accompanied Israel from Sinai through the wilderness wanderings and had been kept in Shiloh from the time of the conquest. But in a battle, the ark had been captured by the Philistines and was a trophy of war displayed in the Philistine cities until it became a problem for them and was returned to Israel at the village of Kiriath-Jearim, where it rested until David came to get it and put it in a place of honor in Jerusalem, where it eventually became enshrined in Solomon's temple. For the Jewish people, the Ark was a theological handbook. It provided an account of the presence of God among his people. Its history showed the importance of having God with you in all of life's challenges. Despite that, always remember, the Ark was the symbol, not the reality. It only reminded them of God's presence with them because, of course, God cannot be contained in a mere box. In this way, memory is instructive. It teaches us about God and the importance of having Him with us wherever we go. Now, the writer of the psalm does not retell this history. He only triggers their memories of it. The symbolism of the ark was common knowledge, passed along from generation to generation by verbal communication initially, and then eventually written down. These memories triggered powerful emotions, especially the part that tells of the time that David rediscovered the ark in an obscure village and determined to once again set it in the center of Israel's life, to place God symbolically back where he belongs, at the very center of their lives, to be worshiped and adored. What these memories trigger for the people traveling to Jerusalem is obedience. The obedience of David to restore the ark to its rightful place in their lives. And in this way, memory is a data bank we use to evaluate our position and then make corresponding decisions. With biblical history, we have 2,000 years of experience from which to draw upon when making the everyday decisions of life. As we walk the path of discipleship on our journey to God, we are reminded that we aren't the first to travel this path, nor will we be the last. As the pilgrims traveled to Jerusalem, they were reminded that up the same paths, along the same roads, the ark had been carried, accompanied by a determined and expectant people. It had been carried in their long wanderings in the wilderness and in victory over the Philistines. Obedience has a history, and it's found in the people of God, written down in His Word. This memory reminds us that we are not alone on this journey of faith. We have others' experiences, the community of experience of brothers and sisters in the church, and the centuries of experience provided by our biblical ancestors. Now, history seems to have little meaning to some Christians in the 21st century, particularly our young people. Our instant society has spoiled us into thinking that if it can't be known right now, through a Google search or in a Facebook post, it's not worth knowing. History for our teenagers is what took place during their parents' childhood, and we all know that that's irrelevant to their lives. But then for some Christians, they seem to live only in the past. They cling to tradition and past church practices as an infant clings to their blankie or their teddy bear. This is equally debilitating and destructive in our discipleship journey to God. Instead, God desires that history teach us valuable lessons on how to obey God today. Psalm 132 activates faith's memory so that our obedience will produce a balanced faith that is stable and growing. Eric Weinheimer is blind, yet on May 25th, 2001, he reached the peak of Mount Everest. Suffering from degenerative eye disease, he lost his sight when he was 13, but that didn't stop him. On a mountain where 90% of climbers never make it to the top, and over 300 have died trying, Eric succeeded in large measure because he listened well. He listened to the little bell tied to the back of the climber in front of him so he would know what direction to go. He listened to the voice of teammates who would shout back to him, "Death fall 2 feet to your right," so he would know what direction not to go. He listened to the sound of the ice pick jamming the ice so he would know whether the ice was safe to cross. And like Eric, we need to listen carefully on our journey of faith. God speaks to us through his word as we recall his faithfulness to our forefathers. Listening carefully will lead to our mature obedience, one that avoids dangers on the path and leads to great victory. But Psalm 132 doesn't just keep our feet firmly planted, it also gets them off the ground. It is not only a solid foundation in the past, it is a daring leap into the future. For obedience is not a stodgy and ho-hum plodding in the ruts of religion. It is a hopeful race towards God's promises. For Israel, the great reality is that the Lord had chosen a permanent location for the Ark of the Covenant. Zion, or Jerusalem, the mountain of God, is that location. And that's why they traveled to Jerusalem 3 times a year to worship God. It symbolized for them the presence of God. Today, since the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God has chosen to dwell in the hearts and lives of his children. Those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ for their salvation, they are the permanent dwelling place of God. In the second half of the psalm, from verse 13 through the end, it has a downhill feel to it. It is written not by a historian who is reveling in the past for its own sake, but a traveler using what he knows of the past to get where he is going, to God. Some Christians seem to be out for a stroll in their relationship with God. The pace is leisurely, the purpose is aimless, and the value is negligible. This is not the picture that we're given in Scripture. The Christian life is always viewed as a race whose runners need to diligently train for it if they are to be successful. Listen to the psalmist's tone as he writes down God's words to his people. "I will bless her with abundant provisions. Her poor will I satisfy with food. I will clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints will ever sing for joy. Here I will make a horn grow for David and set up a lamp for my anointed one. I will clothe his enemies with shame, but the crown on his head will be resplendent. All the verb tenses in these verses are future. They will be fulfilled in the future by God. This is the promise of God to his obedient children. Obedience is fulfilled in hope, and each one of these hopes are developed from history. In verse 15, God promises, I will abundantly bless her possessions. I will satisfy her poor with food, with bread. Our minds are directed to remember the years of wilderness wandering when God gave Israel water from the rock, manna from the ground, and quail from the skies. Through this remembrance, we know that God will provide for all our needs. In verse 16, God promises, her priests I will clothe with salvation, and her saints will shout for joy. Israel understood salvation. They remember how God saved them at the edge of the Red Sea from the pursuing enemy, how God saved Isaac by providing a sacrificial lamb, and how God rescued them by knocking down the walls of Jericho. At every turn, when God saved Israel, they responded with dancing and songs of joy to the Lord who redeemed them. In verse 17, God says, there I will make a horn to sprout for David. I have prepared a lamp for the anointed. The horn in Scripture was always a sign of strength. The hope is that its brightness will provide light for the path of the one who represents God's presence, a light we now identify with revelation in Scripture and in Christ. We are reminded that the Lord is the guide on our journey of faith. It is His strength that we depend upon to guide us. When we are weak in the face of trouble, He is strong. When we lack sufficient spiritual strength to overcome the temptation to sin, His Spirit empowers the weak faith of His faithful follower. In another psalm, we're reminded that the steps of a righteous man are directed by the Lord. Another psalm reminds us that God's Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. In the book of James, we're told, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. God promises to be our guide on this journey of faith, and this gives us hope. And then in verse 18, God says, his enemies I will clothe with shame, but upon himself his crown will shed its luster. The shame of God's enemies and the glory of God's king will be decisive. The victory will be complete. Evil will be thoroughly defeated, and righteousness will flourish in triumph. In the end of the world, maybe even during our lifetime, God will be ultimately victorious over evil. This is the promise and the certain hope we have as we battle the effects of evil in our lives here on earth. In these four promises, hope gives wings to obedience, a hope that is consistent with the reality of what God has done in the past, but is not confined by it. Obedience on our journey to God has a history firmly established in a faithful God. It provides a firm foundation for us to build our lives upon. It gives us hope for the unknown future and the uncertain paths that lie ahead of us. And so Psalm 132 cultivates memories of a faithful God and nurtures a hope of future promises that leads to mature obedience in our lives today. It protects us from an empty religion that is ignorant of the history of God and His working in the lives of His children. It develops a strong sense of continuity with the past and an excitement for the unknown future. It prevents us from getting stuck in the past where we relive the good old days spiritually. Because a Christian that stays put is no better than a statue. What God requires of each one of us is obedience, the strength to stand and the willingness to leap and the sense to know when to do which. This type of obedience is discovered by having an accurate memory of God's ways and a lively hope in His promises. The Apostle Paul captured this truth with these words from Romans chapter 15. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you find yourself stuck in the past spiritually? Remember that hope is built upon our remembrances of a faithful God, and it drives us to cling to His promises for us today. Take a leap of faith in your life and follow God's path laid out for you while standing firm in the strength He provides you on your journey of faith. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You that through reading it, studying it, obeying it, and applying its truths to our lives, we receive encouragement in our journey of faith and endurance for the trials we face. Thank You that in Your Word we discover You and learn of Your great love for us. Thank You for our reminder today that You are a faithful God. It is Your character, and we see it time and time again in the Scriptures and in our own lives. Thank You that our faith has a past and that it is rooted in it, and it gives us confidence to follow the path that You have laid out for us today and in the days ahead. As You reminded the pilgrims traveling to Jerusalem, You remind us today that You will provide for us perfectly. You will redeem us when we need rescuing. You will guide us safely to You, and You will win against any enemy we come up against. Because of that, we follow You in faith while standing firm in Your faithfulness. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today's benediction comes to us from Revelation chapter 5. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and give you a good week.